Christ Presbyterian Church is a local congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, located in Mobile, Alabama, which seeks to be a community of disciples devoted to the Word of God, the fellowship of believers, biblical worship and sacraments, prayer, and making disciples. Questions, comments, or encouragement can be emailed to churchchrist@bellsouth.net.
Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 40 through 45. Give your diligent attention to the holy, inerrant, and life-giving Word of God as it is recorded for us by Mark. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. That ends the reading of the word this evening. Let's pray. Father, send your Holy Spirit to illumine your word to our minds, that we might see our great high priest and experience the cleansing that comes through the word by the power of the Holy Spirit being applied to our souls and washing us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dead man walking. There's a dead man walking here. This is how the character Percy brought Big John Coffey into death row in the movie The Green Mile. Dead man walking. Why? Why would he announce to the entire public who lived in and around that jail that Big John Coffey was a dead man walking? It's because he was not actually a dead man yet. According to the providences that would soon happen to John Coffey would be executed for a crime that he actually did not commit. But here, in this text, we see one who is dead, a dead man walking in multiple ways. What we have here in this text is one who exudes, who embodies a dead man walking. And what is it that Percy was trying to do at that time? He was trying to humiliate. He was trying to humiliate John Coffey because of the fact that he was a convicted felon, because of the fact that he was a convicted murderer, that he was as good as dead, and that everybody in the town around ought to know, ought to run, ought to flee if they would ever see John Coffey. But in this text, we have a similar situation. We have a leper who's a dead man, not just spiritually, but also almost physically. Leprosy at this time was a very, in some ways, if you look back into the Old Testament, it's not just one thing. There are a number of ways in which you can view leprosy, anything from dermatitis, anything from dandruff, to actual skin-eating condition. It was a condition that illustrated very well the effects and the ravages of sin upon the soul. It was an illustration of depravity. Now, we have this leper at the beginning of our scene. But we've also seen Christ. We've seen him as the coming king. We've seen him as the Messiah. He has come and he has begun to preach the word. We have seen him and he has come to do miracles. And on the one hand, he's saying, don't tell anybody. But on the other hand, he continues to do his messianic task. On the one hand, he doesn't want people to be confused about what he does. But on the other hand, he continues his great work of redemption. And so we see, even in a number of places, such as verse 25 of chapter 1, but Jesus rebuked him, that is, the unclean spirit, and said, be silent and come out of him. Why did he want the demon, the unclean spirit, to be quiet? Well, one of the things that we're going to find in our text is an answer to that this evening. And we'll get there in a second. But as we have seen the messianic ministry begin, and it's characterized by preaching, and it's supported in its authority by miracles, we then have this text, which I think illustrates the purpose and the goal of his teaching, and that is to show compassion on those who do not deserve compassion. And as we look at our text this evening, we're going to see this main point, that Jesus, the messianic high priest, compassionately identifies himself with a leper. And we're going to look at it in two main blocks. Firstly, Jesus compassionately identifies himself with the leper's sickness. And then secondly, Jesus compassionately identifies himself with the leper's with the ungrateful leper's graces. You know, we can also attempt to recast it also in two points. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, in order that we might become the righteousness of Christ. Point one, Jesus was made to be sin who knew no sin. He is the perfect high priest who identifies himself with the leper. And firstly, we see the leper's sickness. Look at verse 40. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. This is probably not, as I was saying earlier, this is probably not a situation where the leper understands that he has a really, really bad case of dandruff and recognizes he needs cleansing. That's not what's going on here. Rather, this is probably a situation wherein a man who has a skin or flesh-eating bacteria is coming because of his deplorable state to the Holy One. The unclean one coming to the Holy One. And in Leviticus 14:34, we see that this state of leprosy is not merely something that just happens to come upon the Lord's people. It's actually something that God puts upon the people in judgment. He puts it on his people. Leprosy is a manifestation of divine judgment. It's a manifestation of divine displeasure. And leprosy is also, as I was saying earlier, is also an illustration of sinful depravity. The same way in which leprosy eats and corrodes at the entire body, the skin, the flesh, the muscles, even down to the bone. It corrupts even the tendons. Limb to limb, man's affected. A leper is affected. It's an illustration of depravity. Limb to limb, the entirety of man is being eaten away by sin. But then also in Leviticus 13, the lepers are pronounced by the Levites to be unclean. They are those who are unholy. They are those who cannot fulfill the law of God. They are those who cannot be declared in any way, shape, or form as righteous. They are as good as Gentiles. Dirty. They are those who are soiled by sin. And this manner, and this demeanor, this carriage is actually suggested and even told by the Levites to the lepers in order to protect the people around them. So, for instance, in Leviticus 13, they are to clothe their mouths, rip their garments, and declare as they are coming down the street, unclean, unclean. Why? So that every person around them would know. Every person around them would hear and stay away. It is the ultimate alienation. It's the ultimate exile. It's the ultimate separation to be a leper. But then also in Leviticus 13, you see that the leper, because of this, is to dwell outside of the camp. He's not even associated with the Lord's people. He's not even associated with the Lord. God is not a God of the dead. He is a God of the living. Literally, the leper in many ways is the dead man walking. That's what he is. And it's a little difficult to illustrate this in our own day and age. What would we associate? What character, what providence, what situation in a person's life would we associate with a leper? And it's really kind of hard. We don't, number one, we don't live in a community such as the Jews did at this time. We don't have that type of communal aspect to our society. But at the same time, what sins, what disposition could we use to illustrate this? And to me, I think they're very few and far in between. And honestly, they are insulting. It's not just the murderer. It's the rapist. It's the one that no one likes. It's the pedophile. It's the one who is socially unacceptable at all stages, that undermines everything that we believe in. It's the one who is also alienated, kept outside. Even if a rapist or a pedophile were to go to prison, fellow prisoners would hate him. It's that loathsome. It's that unclean. It's that bad. And you can understand a man who's living under such a condition that he would have an emotional state looking at his life, looking at himself, looking at his sins, looking at what he is and who he is in relationship to God, who he is in relationship to the people around him. You can understand his emotional state. Look at what he does. And a leper came to him, that is Jesus, imploring him, kneeling, bowing to him, bowing down to Jesus. If you will, you can make me clean. Having looked at the leper's sickness, we can move on then to Jesus' compassionate cleansing of the leper. Jesus, as we have been talking about, is Jehovah. He is this messianic high priest who alone can make lepers clean. And even as we think about it, the times in which in the Old Testament leprosy was actually healed, we understand that leprosy can only be healed by divine intervention. You think of Miriam and you think of Naaman, the Syrian commander who came, had this also this flesh eating bacteria. And Elisha tells him, just dip in the Jordan. Naaman responds to him and he says, the river back home is 7 times cleaner than that one. That's only going to make me dirtier. But that's not the point. The point is that Jehovah alone can cleanse. And Naaman actually understands this as he takes plots and pots of earth back to Assyria to do what? To worship Jehovah. To thank him, to praise him, to worship the living and true God who indeed cleanses and cures leprosy. You can also think of King Uzziah, good King Uzziah. who totally misstepped and misunderstood his office as king, took to himself the office of priest and made sacrifices. And what happened? He was turned into a leper. But it was only by the divine intervention of Jehovah himself that leprosy, his leprosy, was cleansed. And this leper, as a part of the Jewish society, as he would have even known of and heard of the scriptures, would have known that only Jehovah can cleanse. And that's what he comes, and that's what this is. Even in verse 40, what we have implicit here is a statement of faith. I am unclean. I am a sinner. You can make me clean. You can forgive my sins. It's not dependent upon the leper to save himself. He places it at the feet of Jesus. If he wills, he can make me clean. He doesn't even doubt whether or not Jesus can make him clean. He assumes he can. He assumes that he has this power. And Jesus says, I will. Be clean. But I want you to notice before we actually consider further the high priestly function of Jesus here, his motive, his response in verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, the original Greek in many texts actually says moved with anger. Anger, oddly, that's odd. Why anger? And what about the situation could have angered him? In the same way in which Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, at the impact and the curse, the impact of the curse, even upon his friend, Jesus, in a holy anger, hates the effects of the fall upon his people. There's something comforting. Even as we heard this morning about the holy wrath of the Lord and judgment, that the same holy wrath is what is used to cleanse us. He hates sin so much, and he loves his people so much that they cannot be associated. And that it is indeed partly the anger of the Lord at sin which cleanses us, which separates us from it, which sets us apart away from sin. But also, you all, and at the very, and you can understand why the translators would actually translate, especially in ESV, moved with pity, because you can see the pity here. Ultimately, I mean, essentially, what we want to see is that the anger is upon him, right? That's where the anger is. But not upon his own people. Not upon those that he's calling to himself that come to him in faith. He expresses compassion. He expresses a divine touch. He doesn't even need to touch the man. He doesn't even need to speak. All he has to do is make a determination of his will for this man to be cleansed. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't say hocus pocus. He doesn't say boof, magic. You know, he doesn't do anything like that. He touches the man. Here is a man who's been alienated from his people. Alienated from probably, if I can't even imagine he was married. Alienated from any kind of human interaction because of his uncleanness, but the God who is holy touches him, identifies himself with the sin of his people. He made him to be sin who knew no sin. He identifies himself with leper. Not only that, Jesus, because he is the lawgiver, because he is the high priest, the Holy One of Israel, he makes clean those whom he touches. He is not made unclean those who he touches. We have a holy high priest. We have a holy God whose holiness affects and influences us, who purifies and cleanses us. But you also once again see that here you have this great high priest who's showing compassion, showing that it's actually in his being made clean that he can actually now associate. He can go back into the temple. He can go back and worship the Lord. He can go back and be a part of the redeemed community of God. He can be and go and worship in that one place where Jehovah has placed his name, alienated for so long as a leper. And you can understand how the writer or the author of the book of Hebrews can think about the high priestly office of Jesus Christ and make wonderful statements. He was made like us in order to be merciful, in order to restore us back to God. He was made like us. We have a high priest who perfectly sympathizes with us. And you ask the question, what? How is it that we can say that he perfectly sympathizes with us? Here's a leper. Someone totally antithetical, totally opposite of him. But he sympathizes. How many of you have sins in your life that you think God can't sympathize with, that you think Jesus is unequipped, is unable, is unqualified to sympathize with your plight, with your sin? It is not the case here. We have a polar opposite who reaches down and touches and sympathizes and cleanses a leper. Someone totally opposite to him. He's willing to show tender mercy on one who doesn't deserve it. He's no longer our dead man walking. Jesus, by the power of his own will, makes those of us who are dead in our trespasses and sins, those who are alive in him and alive to God. No longer a dead man walking. Well, secondly, we also see that Jesus compassionately identifies himself with the ungrateful leper's graces. Or, as we said earlier, that we might become the righteousness of God. Notice that the true high priest bids the leper to fulfill the law of Moses. Verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. Christ, who fulfills the law of God, teaches his own people to walk according to the law of God. Salvation is not a salvation from obedience. Salvation is a salvation unto obedience. Because it is no longer a covenant of works which we have to perfectly fulfill, because Christ has perfectly fulfilled it on our behalf, we have a freedom to walk and look like our God as we walk according to his revealed will in the law. And that's what he's teaching this leper. To be grateful and thankful for redemption is to heed the commandments of Jesus. To love him is to obey. And we see that in some sense the leper does fulfill the law of Moses. But I want you to look at the purpose of him going to the law, of him going to the priests. And it's primarily, look at verse 44. For a proof to them. For a proof to the priests. And firstly, it's a testimony. It is it's a witness. It's a proof of Jesus' messianic office. How is it that Jesus can cleanse them, tell them to be silent, and then go and send them off to the high priest, who's automatically going to ask him, how did you get clean? How did you stop being a leper? We have to recognize that when he says, see that you say nothing to no one, he's not saying in an absolute statement, shut your mouth at all times. He's not saying it. What he's saying, rather, is that you are going to speak precisely for a purpose, to be a testimony about the very nature of my redemption. The problem at the time was the fact that there were Jews who had a very triumphalistic approach to the Messiah. He was going to be the one who came in kingly power and overthrew the Romans and ushered in this eschatological realm in which the Jews would live forever. Through triumph, through a military triumph. But that's not what Jesus wants for them to hear a testimony about. He's not merely some miracle worker. It is a proof and a testimony, yes, to his messianic office, yes, to his fulfillment of the law, yes, to the inability of the high priest, but primarily for the people of Judah, for the people around him to know that his messianic office, his healing and his cleansing from sin, is exactly in fulfillment of the law. It is law abiding, not law destroying. And that's an important ministry. That's an important witness to be witnessing to the high priests of Israel at the time. It is a fulfillment of the law. It is not contrary to the law. And not only that, but that as he sends his disciples, as he cleanses his disciples, they too walk in the law. But you also see that the true high priest ministry is affected by the leper's disobedience. The disobedience of the leper as he affects Christ. He is forced out into deserted places. Look at verse 45. But when he, that is the leper, went out and began to talk freely about it, that is what happened, and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The disobedience of the leper misrepresents Christ precisely in the way he commanded him not to. Given his record, given what he was publishing, and the wants of the people, they want a triumphalistic Messiah. The wrong idea of who Christ is multiplied. The high priest is still, yes, very popular, but not for the reason which expands his kingdom. No, the kingdom doesn't expand merely by miracle working. It doesn't expand merely by these little trinkets it's not expanded merely in miracles. It's in the presentation of the gospel, the presentation of the atoning sacrifice of Christ, which is the fulfillment of Jesus' obedience to the law on our behalf. That's not being published because of the disobedience of a servant. And even as I'm thinking about it, one of the things, this is one of the proof texts that actually points to the fact that we do evangelism according to the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do evangelism, not according to our own ways. Why? Because we may be presenting the Lord Jesus in a way in which he has no desire to be presented. Well, how do we apply this? How do we apply this text? The leper is an illustration of our depravity. Do you see your condition to be that of a spiritual leper, decaying, rotting because of your sinfulness? Decaying, rotting because of your iniquity, because of your continued disobedience? Do you see yourself as no better than a dead man walking? Do you see yourself as no better than the most rank in our own culture? Are you better than a pedophile? That's a tough question. Are you better than a rapist? That's a tough one. I might say yes, but do I really mean yes? In order to come and in order to plead, in order to come and ask the Lord Jesus for healing according to the law, for healing according to your infirmities, you must recognize yourself to be unclean. Unclean. That's what we are in comparison to the presence of God. Totally and completely unclean. And if you'll admit who you are to the Lord Jesus Christ, even now, He will make you clean. If you come to Him in repentance and in faith, even now, He will forgive you. He will make you clean according to the law. He will begin to sanctify you and cleanse you. You can be washed in the power of the words. He admits all who recognizes their sin, and He admits all who recognizes His ability and His desire to cleanse people from their sins. So we've seen Jesus as the compassionate high priest who identifies Himself with the leper and his sickness. And we have seen that Jesus compassionately identifies Himself with even with the ungrateful leper's graces. And I'd ask, even as we are those, some of us here are those who have come to Him for cleansing, that we would never lose sight of the fact that we are those who are clean, but once were unclean. That we were those who were dead men walking, but now have new life in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this wonderful text of the compassion, the power, the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we would ask even now that if we have not repented, if we have not recognized our depravity, that we would come unto You, even at this very moment, confessing our sins and recognizing the power of the great high priest to atone and be a sufficient mediator for our redemption and restoration. Lord, we pray this, that we might glorify You, that we might worship You in spirit and in truth, and as we come to the table, that we might fellowship with restored life with You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.